Okay, Parshas Noso, as we get closer and closer to Kabbalah HaTorah, right now we are officially in the Shloshis Yemei Hagbalah, three days before the Holy Chag of Shavuos. So this is a great time in terms of to enhance our learning, and this is a good time to get a lot of chizik in Torah as we lead up to the holy day of Kabbalah HaTorah. So Parshas Noso. Parshas Noso is actually the longest parsha in the entire Torah in terms of psukim. I think it's about 176 psukim. A lot of it is repetitive, not so much Rashi, but definitely speaks about a lot of important inyanim. So let's get to it. The first concept that I want to speak about is that appears in the parsha is Nezirus. So just again to give a little hakdama to Nezirus, let's just talk about a little bit about the dinim. We know that the halachas of Nezirus is that a person who takes upon himself Nezirus, it's also for him to shave, it's also for him to drink wine, and it's also for him to become mitame to a mace. And so those are the three primary restrictions, the three surim in which it's forbidden for the Nazir to partake in. How long does the Nezirus go for? It goes for at least 30 days. We know that because the Gemara in Moed Katan derives this from what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Yiyeh. Yiyeh is Gematria 30, right? Yud, hey, Yud, hey, is referring to, no, we're not talking about Shem, Shem Hashem, but right, 10-5 is referring to 30. And furthermore, the Torah says that somebody who accepts upon himself Nezirus is considered kadosh. It is referred to the word as kadosh in the Torah. So and the Torah goes on and it emphasizes how great and how lofty is a person who's a nazir, a person who takes upon himself Nezirus. So in addition to being called kadosh, he's sort of the pasuk in Perek Vav, pasuk Zayin. Refers to him as what Kinezer Elokav al Rosho. It's as if he has like a crown on his head, referring to the hair for the fact that he didn't shave or he didn't get a haircut for so long. The long hairs are it's Kielu as if he's a melech, has a crown on his head. The Balaturim also notes that they compares another to who? A Navi. What's the comparison? Why? And he says because there's an inyan of what? It's forbidden for the nazir to become a tamei to mace. Even kroven, even close relatives, it's also for him to touch a mace. Why? What exactly is the pshat? So says the Balaturim is that perhaps maybe since he's compared to Navi is because we can make this comparison because we're afraid that if he comes close to any of these mason, we're going to sort of say that maybe this Nevuah came from Mason, he was talking to the dead, and it would create some type of conspiracy theory. So therefore, he explains that he's like a Navi, and it actually fits well with the Isser of Mitami the Mace. Furthermore, the Eben Ezra strengthens this idea of again the loftiness. He says that somebody who is mekabel upon himself a Nezirus is doing a pella, is doing something wondrous and amazing. So here we have all these examples that are describing the godless of a Nazir. The question is again, what exactly is so chashif? What exactly is this pella? Why is it this wondrous act? Why all of a sudden after he decided he was going to be noah precious, he was going to be abstinent, he's not going to shave, not going to get a haircut, not going to drink wine, not going to be Tommy Mace for only 30 days, and all of a sudden he's referred to as kadosh or a melech or a navi? Why all of a sudden because he took upon the schumer for a month, all of a sudden he's literally the king of the world? So I think the pashtus is that the godless of a nazir is that he's considered good, he's considered so great is because he's going against the teva, he's going against nature, he's going against his natural desires. You're right. The godlessness is that he has a special gvura, that his gvura is overpowering and is triumphing over his natural instincts. So a person, it's normal for a person to get a haircut after X amount of time. Certain people, and Yad is drinking wine in certain occasions is most certainly appropriate. And again, being metami based, especially krovim. Again, it's referring to just doing normal things. But the pshat is that a person who wants to slowly remove himself from the natural functions of society, he is considered very good. He's considered great. Right, the rest of the people. What's the pshat? Because most of the world feels, you know, meshubud. It feels, you know, they're sort of indebted to, you know, to hold up to the standards of society when it comes to indulging in, let's say, indulging in yoni gashmius, and it would be why? Because it's natural, normal. I don't know if they even want to, but it's just why do you want to do this? I don't know, because everyone else is doing this. So what's the pshat though? A melech and a navi, they separate themselves from the world. They say we are different. A navi is totally separate. He's much more holier. He has a special relationship between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The melech, he's lofty. So too by a nazir also. He's saying that yes, I know the world does X, but I want to be separate and I want to remove myself from the standard desires and wants of society. So therefore the pshat is that he's considered a mel. He's described as a melech based on the psukim and based on the Baal Turim, is described as a navi. And this is so, so important. This idea that we need to be mechazikin. So sometimes there's an inyan to be noah precious. I'm not preaching here to the choir that all of a sudden everyone should be going Amish and everyone should be going off the grid and no one should be using electricity and everyone should literally be eating water and drinking water and eating bread day in and day out and living in huts outside. No, that's not the pshat, but there's a certain inyan at a certain point in certain aspects of life to say sometimes enough is enough. Okay, true, the rest of the world is being knowing in this type of inyan of gashmius, but me, I'm gonna change a little bit. Maybe I'm gonna separate myself a little bit. And I think this is also very important in terms of Kabbalah Satorah, this idea of Shloshis Yimei Hagbalah, especially in this Tkufa, as we want to prepare. To get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it requires a certain amount of, it's not just we want to get close. How are we gonna get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have to throw a lot of that extra baggage to the side. We have to throw a lot of that extra, you know, unnecessary, unwarranted gashmis to the side. I'm not saying, again, there's an inyan of being normal. But on the other hand, this idea of precious, which is emphasized a lot by the Ramchal, and again, it's not just abstaining. It's not just abstaining from the actual things, but it's also abstaining from the demands of the social pressures of society. I always like to quote. There's a famous Gemara in Kiddushin that says that the father is chayiv to do several things for the son. According to everyone, it's five things. Those five things, the Gemara in Kiddushin around Chavtes, Laman Aleph. Testament base goes on and it speaks about it for a couple dapim. It says the father is, there's a mitzvah for the father to give a bris milah to his son, to do a pidyon haben, to teach him Torah, to teach him a trade, and to find him a wife. Those are the five things. And there's a yesh omrim that says there's even a sixth thing which he's chayv to teach him how to swim. There's an extra chiv on the father. So ask Rav Liashiv, my high. What's the chance to teach him how to swim? Let's say for some reason he doesn't want to become the next Michael Phelps or some type of Olympic swimming champion. Or let's say he doesn't even live near any coastal areas or he's never going to be swimming. Let's say so my high. So what's the pshat that says Rav Yashiv? It's not you don't take the Gemara literally. It's talking about figuratively swimming. He says al derech drash. And the pshat is that you have to, that the father has to teach his son how to swim against the tide. That son, that the father has to, the teacher has to implement in the son certain yesodos that you shouldn't be mishubed to the social pressures of society. That just because everyone is doing this doesn't mean you have to be doing this. You should be doing that which you want to do, that which you want to do, and that which you feel is right to do. This idea, this is the main idea in terms of the yesod of the Nazir, that again, everyone was just normally going in a certain way, but he was still swimming against the tide, and this is super, super important, again, beyond Nazirus. That's something which is super, super applicable to us in our everyday life. So I've kind of idea number one. Idea number two. This appears later in the parsha, towards the last couple aliyahs, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi, as we're going to hear. And if those who are zocher to daven in a minyan in this kufan here in Kriyas HaTorah, it's going to be pretty repetitive on Shabbos. This is if you remember, this is also the lighting on Hanukkah. We're talking about all the Nisim bringing, being makrev every day, it's pretty much the same thing day in and day out, right? We do it for 8 days in Hanukkah, but it's a bunch of psukim. I think it's about 70 psukim or something like that. The whole thing of paracha, kavano, and so it's almost like by the eighth day of Hanukkah, a person knows that trup by heart already. But it's very, very geschmack. But people will think that it's okay. It's a bunch of repetitive stuff, but there's no real Torah on it. But if you look closely, maybe there's a certain inyan which I wanted to point out. That's as follows. So on the seventh day, the pasuk says in Parak Zayin, pasuk Mem Ches, Bayom Hashvii Nasi Livnei Ephraim. It was Ephraim's turn. Shevi Ephraim's turn to send the representative, the Nasi, to be Makriv. And who was that? Elishama ben Amihud. And this occurred on the seventh day. So it's important to be medayik that when did this take place? On the seventh day, which would mean that what? It took place on Shabbos. Whether the first day took place on a Sunday or any other day, the point is there was at least a seventh day. Someone was being makriv when? On Shabbos. Points out the Das HaKeinim, that what? And generally, back in the day, the only karbonos that were actually brought on Shabbos were karbonos hatzibor. On behalf of the public, on behalf of the klal, those were allowed to be brought on Shabbos. But in particular, personal karbonos were not. We're not brought on Shabbos. So the chiddush is that here, even so, the Nesiim brought their own individual karbanos on Shabbos. Why? Because the Chanukah Samizbech was such a chash of a maimon, a chash of an event leading up to the Chanukah Samizbech, that even there was an inyan of bringing karbanos that were individual karbanos on Shabbos. And another diak, again, the fact that we just established that what? That these were individual karbanos, even though listed in the, it says every day, the shvatim, but still no, it's the nasi that brought it. How do we know? Be medayik every time, what does it say after every name? It says, karbano, karas kesev achas, right, we know the trump, karbano, karas kesev achas, shoshim mea, mishkalam. So it says karbano. It was his karban. It was his karban. What's the pshat? Rashi Medayik. The pshat is that each nasi individually brought the karban on their own expense. Every nasi, all 12 of them, did not accept funds from their respective shevet in order to purchase an animal to be makriv. Rather, what they either gave their own animal from their own share, or they spent their own money to bring this carbon, which shows again such a great deal in terms of Mesiris Nefesh, the fact that they want that they're willing to spend their own money for an animal. To be makriv and not to accept funds from their respective shvatim. But still, well, obviously what we can ask is that okay, so what's the chiddush? They spent their own money. What they were poor. As a matter of fact, we know there's actually Gemara in Bechoros, right? On Daf Hayam and Beis that says at that tkufa, at that point, when they left Mitzrayim and they were in the Midbar, every Jew had a lot of money. Everyone was very wealthy. Everyone had at least 90 donkeys and they were loaded with kesef v'zahav. So if this is the case that every Jew had a lot of money and a lot of flock and a lot of cattle and a lot of donkeys, so okay, so great. So each Nasi gave maybe 1% of their savings to make such a chashva donation. So why is it so what did they do that was so special? What did they do? So okay, great, they paid for their own carbon. Okay, so that's normal. It was a carbon yachid. So it's not like that. That's not that they had to take out a second mortgage out of it. So explains Rav Simcha Zissel Ziv Mikelm, the famous altar of Kelm, that says that what was the godless of this move was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates the quality of Avodas Hashem, not necessarily the quantity. It wasn't a chiddush that they paid for the carbon out of their own pocket. It's the way that they did it. It's the way that they really wanted it to be theirs. They really wanted to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted it to be for real. They wanted it to be l'shma. They wanted it to be l'shem shamayim, because they were willing to do it. They wanted it to be so l'shma. They were willing to do every step by themselves. They didn't want any help. Again, beyond the financial aspect of it, the physical labor, the bringing, and all that—they wanted the complete chelek. Why? Because they really wanted to show what does it really mean to be an Eved Hashem, a real Eved Hashem. And this is such a yisod, again, that Avodas Hashem is totally. Is totally on a person's lishma, right? And the yisod is, again, the avodas Hashem isn't about quantity. It's about quality, right? It's not about a lot of times people are in yeshiva or even people at home who are in yeshiva. I have to have this certain pressure that I need to accomplish. I need to cover that. I need to learn this amount of hours. I need to learn this amount of blot of Gemara. They're looking at very, very quantitative measurements, and it's a very, very selfish amount. It's a very, very selfish attitude, because it's just like, okay, I have to do this. I need to do this. I need to reach a certain goal. It's not about that. That's not real Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is much more qualitative. How much am I willing to put in the effort, right? It's not about how much I learned. It's how did I learn? Why did I learn? Why did a person learn? If a person just learned, to check off his box to say, okay, I did my learning for the day. I did my daf for the day. I did my omer for the day. I did my shnai mikra for the day. That's not the pshat. It's just to cover ground in terms of the count, all of the dapim and all of the hours that you learned. It's to understand why are you learning? How are you learning? If you're learning again, if you have that mindset, that attitude, the quality of a person's avodas Hashem will be enhanced. Extreme amounts, and I see this all the time. If a person really just wants, if he's learning to trade, if he's working hard, based on reason and not just based on numbers, his avodas Hashem will just be a lot greater, a lot better. And again, a lot more qualitatively, a lot more fulfilling. And again, a person who really has a avodas Hashem, if a person is Oved Hashem on a real level, the siyata d'shmaya is limitless that he's going to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that he's for real and he wants to do this thing for real. He's not in it for anything else other than to serve the Ribbono Shalom and to give nachas to the Ribbono Shalom. Ultimately, he'll receive maximum siyata d'shmaya. So ad kan idea number two. Idea number three, and with this we'll finish, is another idea that comes up in this week's parsha. So we spoke about Nazirus, we spoke about the Karbonos of the Nesiim, and something that came up earlier in the parsha is Birkos Kohanim, right? Here in Eretz Yisrael, we're zochah to have it here every day. This week, obviously, Bez Hashem, people in Chutz Laretz, on Yontif or at Musaf, the Kohanim will get up there and bless. And it's something that unfortunately some people in Israel take it for granted because we have it so often. But it's really if you really look at the words, if you look at the mafarshim on it, the blessings of the Kohanim are very, very powerful, and it's a special schus to be able to be blessed by the Kohanim every day here in Eretz Yisrael. So, anyways, so the first pasuk in the Birkas Kohanim appears in Perek Vav pasuk Kaf Dalet, and the pasuk says as follows. Right, we know Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. We know the rest of the thing says right. Yar Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, yisah Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. So mafarshim, there's tons of mafarshim, but I want to focus on the first pasuk and just give not such a massive idea, but just share a nice vort in terms of the lashon and be medayik in the pasuk. So the pasuk says yivarechecha Hashem yishmerecha, right? May Hashem bless you. Right, bless you as in us in terms of Am Yisrael, v'yishmerecha, and may he guard us, may he guard you, Am Yisrael. So that explains Rashi on the spot there. So Rashi says, what's the pshat in Yivarechecha? She is baruchu nechasecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with possessions and money. He should make us wealthy. And v'yishmerecha, that he should protect us. Shelo yavu lecha shodinim litol mamoncha shanosim matanu l'avdol ein yachol ha'shomim mikol adam v'kem shabon listen al v'notun l'menem al shanosim reishno matanu al v'kodesh baruch hu anosin hu ha'shomer. Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should he do? He should make sure that we're never in sakana, and he should make sure that robbers don't, that robbers, he should protect us from danger, and he should protect us from thieves and robbers. So, if you read the pasuk, I find it weird that I feel like the pasuk maybe is a bit out of order. It speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessing us with a lot of money, and then only after he's going to be giving us this protection. But l'chora, it would seem that it should be the other way around. That really the v'yishmerecha, the physical protection from danger and robbers is much more essential. L'chora, we should have put that first. It should have been v'yishmerecha Hashem v'yivarechecha. It should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of all of our needs. We need protection. We need the Ribono Shel on our side to serve as a shield from all those dangers, whether it be physical or spiritual. And only then, okay, once everything is calm, then please bless. Only then should the Ribono Shel bless us with an abundance of luxuries and nechassim and money. So the pasuk is out of order. So, but the Teretz says, I saw is brought down in the Divrei Yechezkel that says that the truth is the bracha is in the correct order. But rather, what you have to understand what exactly is pshat in the bracha of Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. What's the pshat? Yivarechecha. What's the din? Is that you, our Kadosh Baruch Hu, should bless us with osher. You should bless us with wealth. And you should give us a lot of money. And then what's the v'yishmerecha? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should watch over us. You should protect us and make sure that we're using these gifts, these nechasim, this money, these luxuries, in the proper way. That we're investing our money to do proper things, to do mitzvahs and all these things. And now the pasuk makes sense. That again, it's a certain aspect of blessing, and then we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect that which we've been blessed with, and protect us from using that which we were blessed with in the proper manner. This is such a yisod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us presents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us gifts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything. The challenge is that we are shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the challenge is that what. Using that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in its proper way. is super, super important. So to summarize, these were three ideas we spoke about. Again, ideas which represent sometimes going beyond the normal way. The first aspect we learned about Nazirus, about this, and you know, being knowing precious to a certain extent. And again, the second idea about the Nisim and the Karbanos, that their extraordinary thing was the way that they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was in the most real way. Again, not only on a quantitative level, but even on a qualitative level. And again, the third way, and the third idea we spoke about tonight was this idea of not necessarily following in terms of the ways of society, but again, understanding that the fact that the gifts and the possessions and the resources we have are actually not ours, rather from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's on us to use them in their proper way. So everyone, yashar koach, have a great day, and have a great yantav. Have a wonderful Shavuos, and learn well, and we should be zocher. You know, to a tremendous bracha, and the limud haTorah over Shavuos, the koach haTorah all over the world, everyone staying up all night should serve as a schus. For Klal Yisrael in the world, and the tkufa we definitely need a lot of schuyos. So yeah, so yashar koach, have a great day.